Next Sunday's sermon is going to be about what it means to be a friend and what Jesus teaches us about friendship. And that's what we want to be to the world, as a friend. Amen. And there's nothing you can do for a friend that's greater than inviting them to come and be closer to God and find salvation. So be thinking about next week. We're excited about that. It's a good opportunity for us. This morning we're going to talk about radical change. And I want us to look at the analogy of a butterfly. God is an amazing creator, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
The butterfly, you may not know, but the butterfly, you may find them in sizes ranging from as small as an eighth of an inch to a 12-inch wingspan. Top speed is 12 miles an hour. Poor butterfly. The monarch travels from the Great Lakes to the Gulf of Mexico 2,000 miles. And then another generation the next spring will make a return trip. Butterflies, many of them, can taste with their feet. And that's helpful because the mother butterfly will lay eggs on a leaf in which, when that caterpillar hatches out of that egg, it begins by eating that leaf. And so butterflies can taste with their, many of them can taste with their feet. There's a group, a group of butterflies. Do you know what that's called? If you see a group of them, called a flutter. Flutter. So you learned something today. The eyes of a butterfly are made of 6,000 lenses. Now tell me there's not a creator. Tell me that evolved. Many butterflies, this is amazing to me. They don't go to the bathroom, many of them. They don't go to the bathroom. Talk about a clean insect. A butterfly, many of them, they use everything they take in for energy. Isn't that something? The eggs of a butterfly, the eggs are laid numerous on a leaf, preparing for the life of another. To start out, of course, as a caterpillar. Take about 3 to 5 days to hatch. When a caterpillar is born, starts eating right away. Caterpillars will grow, and they continue to grow by shedding their skin. So they'll grow to a size, and they'll shed, grow some more. They'll shed again. They'll do that 3 to 5 times. Caterpillars, in the analogy I want us to think about today, of the caterpillar in our life, the caterpillar is to us as a sinner. The caterpillar is to our life before Christ. If you're not a Christian today, that's the analogy to where you are in your walk with God. And the butterfly is where God wants us to be. The butterfly is the Christian, the saint. The caterpillar is selfish. To put it simply, caterpillars eat. Period. That's what they do. Okay, caterpillars are good for eating. They consume. And when we think about the sinner, what does a sinner do? What do people of the world do? What did we do before Christ? You know, things like, or thoughts like, what do I want? What do I like? How do I want to spend my time? How do I want to spend my money? And we go through cycles, don't we? Before Christ, a person goes through cycles of selfishness because we want what we want. We want to be happy, so we try to gain happiness by getting what we think will make us happy. Selfishness. And we do that for a while, but that leads to emptiness because it doesn't bring us what we want. It doesn't work. And out of the emptiness comes guilt because we know that's not the right way. We know we're not living good. And so we find ourselves feeling guilty. But that doesn't feel good, and so how do we handle guilt? Like the caterpillar that sheds its skin, we shed guilt. A sinner does, because we justify it. We reason it out. We think, I'm not that bad. I've seen a lot worse. And if none of that works, if all else fails, with guilt, we just simply ignore it. And we start the cycle again. We live like a caterpillar. Look at Colossians 1:21. Caterpillars are intriguing, but they're basically gross. Okay, they're ugly, they're selfish, they consume. Look at what Colossians 1:21 says. regarding the sinner. It says, "You who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds." Like the caterpillar before God transforms us, we are selfish. We're feasting on sin. We're alienated. And this phrase, hostile in mind, it doesn't seem to fit, does it? When you think about yourself before you became a Christian, if you are a Christian, before you became a Christian, did you think you were hostile to God? If you know someone who's not a Christian right now, does it seem like they're hostile to God? It seems too harsh, doesn't it? This weekend, we've been doing some cleaning at the house. Been cleaning our carpets, shampooing carpets. If you've ever shampooed carpets, you've had this experience. You know, you look at them, you think, these carpets are dirty. We need to clean these. You know, it's been long enough. And so you get that shampooer and you get the product, you get it all set up, and here we go. And you're putting down water and you're sucking up water into that machine. You do that for a while and you see this, you see your carpet getting cleaner and you're excited about that. And then you go to dump this reservoir of the water that's full. And you go to dump that, and talk about an eye-opening experience, right? If any of you are grossed out easily, you do not want to be the one in charge of dumping that water. It's awful. It's awful. I mean, there's stuff in there I didn't think was in our house. It's in our carpet. Awful. Gross. And when we look at our sinful life the way God does, we see it that way, don't we? That's why the one who's not saved and walking with God, that's why they're hostile to God, doing evil deeds, selfish, sinful. To see sin for what it is hard for us, isn't it? Why is it so hard for us to see sin as God sees it? To see sin as it truly is. Why is it so difficult for us? I think one reason is because we like it. Don't we? We're tempted by sin. To be honest, we're tempted by it. We have a love-hate relationship with it. Think about things like gossip. It's in our nature to like to gossip. To like to hear gossip. Bitterness is a sin. There's something about that we kind of like when we get angry or upset, when we're critical of others. Galatians 5:15 talks about biting and devouring each other. That's what the devil wants us to do, by the way. If you want to know what the devil wants for us as a church, the devil wants us to bite and devour each other. The things we do when we're angry are destructive, aren't they? But at the time, it feels kind of good because I'm angry. Sexual sin is tempting to us. Greed is tempting. Pride is tempting. We kind of like these things. And so one thing I want to remind us of today is how ugly sin is. That's the caterpillar phase of our life before we become a Christian. I call this the cocoon, mostly because I don't like to call it a pupa or a chrysalis, which are the proper terms. But to me, it's a cocoon. When this caterpillar goes into this transformation phase before becoming a butterfly, makes a cocoon. Last 7 to 10 days. Inside this cocoon, the caterpillar will release enzymes that dissolves its own tissue. And if you cut it open at just the right time, you'll find a caterpillar soup in this cocoon. There are imaginal discs that for each adult body part survives that process of those enzymes. And then they feed on protein-rich soup that is there to create each body part for the adult butterfly. I wish I could explain it better than that. I wish I understood it better than that. One thing I do understand, God created that. That stuff doesn't just happen, folks. Haven't you seen things happen? You ever seen a car wreck? That's how things happen. You ever seen a car after it's wrecked? That's an accident, right? A butterfly is no accident. This transformation process is no small thing. It is total change. right? And so the same is true for us. When a person is transformed by God, God doesn't just take them and help them to cut down on sin. It's like right now I'm trying to lose weight, kind of. So I'm cutting down on some things, kind of. Right? Anybody know what that's like?
Yes, sir.
I'm working at it, kind of. That's not how God takes a sinner to a saint. Okay? It's not how God changes us. It's drastic. God doesn't just help us to cut back on our bad language or to be a little less greedy or a little less selfish and add an hour to our Sunday morning schedule. That's not how God transformed us. That's not transformed living. But God transforms us drastically. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Scripture says, I have been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Him. I died. We've had pets in our family. We've had dogs. If you're a pet lover, then you've experienced most likely a time when a pet passed away. And you may have buried that pet like we have. So we have a dog before that, when he died, I buried it out in the yard. That dog's dead. I didn't go dig him up. He didn't raise from the dead. I didn't go dig him up and I don't go out there and dig him up and pet him. I don't dig him up and play fetch with him. Right? Why not? He's dead. What's dead is dead. You see the analogy of Scripture, what it's teaching us about a sinful life? We died to that. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. We don't live anymore. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. If you're a Christian, your old life, it's gone. You buried it. In the waters of baptism, you killed it before. God helped you. We repented. We buried that thing. We buried the old life. Right? We don't dig it up and try it out again. We buried it. Are we still tempted? Yes. Do we still fail from time to time? Yes. But we are changed. We're not the way we used to be. And that's what this year's theme is about. Living transformed. We live like God wants to bless us with life. It is an amazing life. We live transformed. Ephesians 4:22 says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. It's a lifelong struggle as a human. We have things we want to do, but they deceive us. We want it. It's like I said, that cycle earlier. We pursue happiness through selfishness. Selfishness leads to emptiness. We're not happy. Now not only are we not happy, but we're also guilty. Right? Isn't that a miserable way to live? That's the caterpillar. And it goes round and round and round. Deceitful desires. We think we know what we want. You ever get what you want? It wasn't what you wanted? When I was about 10 years old, Sunday morning, I still remember this day very clearly. Sunday morning, sitting at the breakfast table, eating a bowl of my favorite cereal, Honeycombs. Greatest cereal ever made. And on the box of the Honeycomb box, they're having a giveaway. You could win games. And as a 10-year-old boy, I thought that was a good deal. So I'm always opening the packet to see, you know, did I win? And I remember opening it that day and it said, instant winner. I still remember that vividly. Instant winner. I think I made up a song about it. I'm a 10-year-old boy and I have instantly won, and I kid you not, 100 games. 100 games. This is bona fide. This is for real, okay? So I'm excited. Now, this is right about the time of Atari. Atari was not the first video game. There were some very crude ones before that. But, you know, this is a time when gaming's starting to come on the scene. And I'm thinking 100 games. I thought, you know, even if a bunch of them are kind of junk, at least some of them will be good. I'm envisioning these portable, remember the football game, the electronic football game, the beep, 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 you know, low technology, but it was fun at the time. And so I was so excited. We mailed that thing off, and I'm just waiting for my games to come in, 100 of them. They come in. And I kid you not, it's all paper. Punch out checkers. Punch out chess. Tic-tac-toe. Talk about disappointed. I still like Honeycomb, but the company I still have a beef with goes back to when I was 10. Isn't that what sin is like? Any of us have not been fooled by it? Any of us have not been fooled by our deceitful desires? We desired it. We thought, this is what I want. This is what I need. And it lied to us. It leaves us in a place we didn't want to be. Sexual sin will leave us ashamed. Drunkenness will leave us broken. Greed will leave us empty. Whatever yours is, where Satan really gets you, it leaves us in a place we didn't want to be. Someone once said that sin will always take you further than you meant to go, cause you to stay longer than you meant to stay, and cost you more than you meant to pay. Satan is the father of lies. Sin is a cruel mistress. And that is why God completely changes us. Doesn't it make sense? God doesn't want to get us a little cleaner. He doesn't want to get us a little further from sin. He wants to kill sin because He knows what it does to us. He teaches us to hate it, to avoid it, to despise it, to leave it behind. The butterfly does not go back to the cocoon. Right? The butterfly doesn't need that cocoon anymore. Doesn't go back to it. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. The word transformed is from the Greek word metamorpho, and it is where we get the word metamorphosis, and which is exactly what happens when a caterpillar changes to a butterfly. Drastic change. Dynamic change. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "We all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another." We are being changed to a butterfly. Butterflies are beautiful. They're free. It's kind of amazing when you see a butterfly fly, isn't it? Their wings make a movement in a figure eight pattern. Butterflies share. They give. They bless. They fly. It makes me think of our God. Our God is a giver, isn't He? Genesis 1:1, what does that say? In the beginning, God created. God is a giver. He made all of this. He made creation for us. God so loved the world that He gave. I want to be a giver. I want to be a blesser. Don't you? I want to be someone who helps someone. Someone who gives, someone who blesses. That's so much better than the selfish me. Than the one who wants what I want. And the one who's grumpy because it never fully satisfies me. I want to be a giver. The other night, three ladies came over to our house in preparation for Stephanie's lumpectomy this Thursday. And I'm sorry, I'll embarrass them. If I ever name your name and brag on you, I just apologize. I apologize for all the past ones I've done and all the future ones. I can't quit, though. I'm sorry, but I will keep doing it. Karen Watkins, Carol Golightly, Carrie Benton, came over and helped Stephanie and the girls clean. Now, incidentally, if you're wondering what I'm good for, I'm a good picker-upper. I'm pretty good at that. I'm real good picker-upper. Pretty good at putting them where they go, where stuff goes. But I'm a real good, I will get it cleared out. But anyway, the ladies came and helped clean. And I was blessed because I had a really nice recliner at David Watkins' house to watch football during that time. Butterflies bless. Saints bless. Christians bless. God teaches us. He transforms us. He changes us so that we live and we bless. Doesn't He? Jessica took Stephanie out last night shopping. Tom and Karen Sism want to come over this week and have a prayer with us before surgery. I could go on and on, and I know it goes on and on because it's what a church family does, isn't it? Amen. How do we live without a church family in our God? We are transformed. We're blessers, right? We're givers. We're helpers. We're ones that brighten other people's days. Ezekiel 36:26 says, I give you a new heart and a new spirit. And He'll remove the heart of stone. We don't want to be stone, cold, selfish individuals. Galatians 5:19, especially verse 22. This is a really contrast. This is the old us who was selfish, works of the flesh, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, on and on. But the transformed life is this. It's a person who's loving. It's a person who's joyful. It's a person who's peaceful, who's patient, who's kind, who's good, faithful, a person who's gentle, a person who is self-controlled. That's what God is changing us into, isn't it? And we're to be, Scripture says, the salt of the earth, light of the world. We're to let our light shine. Think quickly, and I'll leave you with this thought. The Apostle Paul, during his life, toward the end of Paul's life, his body was ugly. And I don't know what it was before, but toward the end of his life, his body had been beaten. It had been whipped. It had been scourged. It had been stoned. It had been shipwrecked. Paul had scars. Paul's body was battered. On the outside, it was ugly. But what was he on the inside? God had transformed him. We live in a world that's obsessed with our outward appearance. Multi-billion dollar industries will change how you look into whatever you want to look like. Only God can change the inside. Only God transforms the heart. Only God changes the man and the woman on the inside to be what He wants it to be. And if you're hearing all this today and you're struggling because you're thinking, I can't do this. You're talking about this transformed life, this saint, this Christian. I don't know. I hear what you're saying. I like it, but I don't know if I can do it. You need to remember Matthew 19:26. The apostles had a similar reaction to Jesus when He told them about the new life, an example of it. And the apostles said, how can we do this? Jesus said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. We're going to sing a song, Take My Life and Let It Be. God can change any life, can He? Isn't that true? And so we're going to sing an invitation song. If you're here this morning and you're struggling with the new life that God is leading you to, if you're struggling to get there, if you've wanted to make that step and kill your old self and have it buried and have God raise you anew, if you're here this morning and we can help you in some way, we'd ask that you come while we stand and sing.
Take my life and let it be.